Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hey Bryce and the Purple Pants posse, this is Shannon Gus, and I just wanted to say I had so much fun recording with Bryce on the Survivor South Africa Immunity Island Insta Look the other day. I love every time that I get to chat to you, Bryce. Even though we're now in a competition for points, I don't even know what we're doing anymore. All I know is that I won, okay? I think we can agree on that, but I always love to chat to you, Bryce, and I'm sure today is going to be another amazing edition of the Purple Pants podcast. So, you know, it's a Purple Pants podcast.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. Okay, baby boy, we're going to have a good episode this week, so let's start the podcast. Ooh, I'm sorry, y'all. I was having an internal dialogue. Welcome to this week's episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. I serve as your host, Bryce Isaiah, and welcome to episode 93, Internal Dialogue. I'd like to personally thank everyone that is currently listening to this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. You know I gotta give a shout out to the first time listeners. Welcome, welcome, welcome. What took you so long? Nevertheless, we here. And you know I gotta give a big warm shout out to my Purple Pants Posse. What is going on, everybody? I hope everyone has been well since the last time that we chatted. This weekend over here in Philly, it was 91, 92 degrees, okay? Baby boy was over here in his garden bag, planting some new house plants, planting some plants in my backyard. But listen, Posse, I got an issue with the makers of soil. So maybe like 2 months ago, I had replanted some house plants in the house. And after I planted them, a couple of weeks later, I'm like, what are these little flies that are like all over the soil? And it really became an issue because I would wake up in the morning to go look at my plants, and the plants that I repotted, they were like infested with these little like mites. So last week I took to Twitter. I said, Twitter, what is going on? You guys told me it was like a fungi type of gnat situation. You guys suggested a lot of different things. I bought a spray that don't work. And so this weekend, I said, you know what? Let me just repot these plants. And it was a really delicate process because some of my plant roots are rather fragile. And, you know, I wanted to make sure that I got all of the soil out of the plant. So anyway, baby boy was just in the dirt all weekend. And I, you know, this morning, checked my plants. Most of them seem fine, but I did see on one of my plants that it looked like some of the flies was bad. So I don't know what's going on, but baby boy, got to get to the bottom of it. So I'll keep the posse posted on what's going on with Bryce's house plants. But if you guys know any remedies, okay, don't just send me stuff that you heard. See, I want real life proof that it works because I love my plants. They really helped me get through the pandemic and they like my children. So I am, you know, they hold a very special place in my heart. Also, this weekend, I recorded a couple of podcasts, okay, with my girl Shannon Gus and Mike Bloom. We did a It's a Look, okay, not to be confused with the Survivor Australia, because I tweeted like a little preview and I tagged Survivor Australia. Y'all know I don't be looking, but we did an It's a Look for Survivor South Africa. I'm so excited for that. And you know, Robert and Akiva had me on. We were discussing all things life-size movie. So make sure you guys check those out if you have not already. And while I feel like I'm on my promo run, if you have not subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast already, what's wrong with you? Okay? Please make sure you guys are subscribed. Why am I crazy?
please make sure you guys are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. I'm on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. Okay, hit the subscribe button, write a review, and give your baby boy some 5 stars. Now, in between me trying to get rid of these fungus mites, recording podcasts and enjoying this beautiful weather, I realized that Netflix dropped a new season of a show that I love. It is called Special. I've talked about Atypical before, and I feel like this show called Special is very similar to Atypical. It revolves around a young gay guy named Ryan who has CP. And he lives with his mom, and it just kind of sort of follows his journey of independence, making new friends. And season two, definitely, baby, they getting down and dirty with a lot of different aspects of Ryan's life. And I just love every bit of it. It's a 30-minute show, and it got 8 episodes. So I had to space them out this weekend because you know me, if I love a show, I'm a binge watch it in one night. But I was like, I really want to enjoy it. But listen, I ended up watching the whole thing this weekend. So I just love it. And so if you guys have seen it, please check it out and let me know what you think. If not, go to Netflix and get into Special. It's 2 seasons. You literally could watch both seasons in a day. And, you know, it was just a really good watch for me. And I'm waiting for the next season of Atypical to come out. And I heard that it might be its last season. So that makes me sad. Real quick, while it's on my mind, Purple Pants Posse, I want to give a special thank you to the baby boy, Patrick Tadeo. Okay? So one day, a couple of weeks ago, I was just minding my business and, you know, scrolling through my emails because I'm one of those people that does not like to have all of them email. Like, you know, I can't say 37 emails. It has to be like blank. That just drives me crazy. And I was going through my emails and I saw an email from Wawa. You know, baby boy loves Wawa. And it was like a gift card. Now, I'm looking at it like, I ain't ordered no gift card. This is some scam. Let me just delete it. But before I deleted it, I looked at it and I was like, oh, wait, maybe this is a real gift card. And the message was like, thank you for all that you do, baby boy Patrick. I'm like, what? This can't be real. So I looked through my followers and who I follow on the social media. And Patrick and I are friends on Facebook. And of course, he's a member of the Purple Pants Posse. So I was just like, how nice, such a random act of kindness, and it just really warmed my heart. And over the weekend, while I was doing all of the other stuff, I did treat myself to a Wawa coffee, okay, in a Danish. Don't worry about my diet, okay? Listen, I'm still doing good. But yeah, I just treated myself. And it just, I just wanted to shout out Patrick. Thank you so much for taking the time and thinking of me. It truly warmed my heart. I was just literally so surprised because I was about to delete the email like scam. And then I just took a closer look. But I'm all about random acts of kindness, and I so appreciate that, Patrick, and I'm going to take that kindness and I'm going to pay it forward to somebody. But let's get on to what we here for, what this episode is going to be about. So let me give you guys the rundown of this week's episode 93, Internal Dialogue. We've got the church announcements, and then we are back this week with the casual tea. I know Amon and I took a brief hiatus, not like the Joe Button podcast hiatus, but you know, we had Miss Barb on the episode, we had Jack, so you know, and we just need a little break. But we are back pouring up the tea. And this week, Amon and I are talking about Billy Porter. Okay, we talking about down there in Texas with the One Heartbeat Bill. We talking about UFOs. We're talking about internal dialogue and so much more. You do not want to miss this jam-packed casual tea. And we got the freak of the week, baby. So let me take my dialogue internal so we can start this podcast. Ooh, that sounded bad.
Welcome to church. Welcome to church. It's a church announcement, so now. Welcome to church.
And on this week's church announcements, while I was scrolling through people's stories over the weekend, I had saw somebody that posted something that really resonated with me. And I said, you know what? That's my spirit telling me, let me bring this on over to the posse. So I just want to read this short passage that I saw over the weekend. If trauma can be passed down through generations, then so can healing. Ooh, that's a word. Okay. Let me just read that to y'all again. If trauma can be passed down through generations, then so can healing. Whoo! Purple Pants Posse. I don't know who that message is for, but I hope that you receive it, because a lot of the times we feel like, you know, traits from our family, from the people that we have grown up with, you know, we feel like, oh, that's the reason why I'm this. I get it from my mom. I get it from my dad. That's just what I'm conditioned to. And we believe it. But we can break the cycle. And just like those maybe not so great things can be passed down, we can also pass down great knowledge and great healing. And we can choose to stop the cycle. We can choose to speak up. We can choose to seek therapy. We can choose to talk out our issues. We can choose to forgive. And we can pass that on to somebody. And I just think that that's, you know, just I can receive it. And there are a lot of things from my past that I could use to hold on to, but I choose not to. I choose healing. And that's really what I want to spread forward. And so I don't know who that message was for. I hope you received it.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
It's a casual tea with Amon and B. It's a casual tea.
And we are back this week. I know we took a couple of weeks off. Okay, we had a little vacation, but it wasn't like the Joe Budden podcast vacation. We, you know, had Miss Barb on the podcast, so we paused the casual tea, but we are definitely back this week. We are back this week with the casual tea, the casual tea, the casual tea. I'm giving very much High School Musical, okay, with the casual tea with Amon and B.
Yo, what a lovely introduction.
Okay. Yes. The coffee
I felt
is
no
cooking.
Need to compete with that.
Because you know. Because you know. It's no competing when you, I have a voice of Whitney, and you very much so have a voice of Britney.
Wow. You know what? Britney's an icon, so I'll take it. She is the princess of pop. So you know what? I'm not even going to take that as an insult.
So,
but I'm so happy to be back. I miss this.
I know.
Yeah.
I felt like
feeling a void.
Yes. I was like, oh my God, where's the casual tea? And I also felt like the week that we did not talk, so much was going down.
Yes.
You know,
spinning. Yes.
Portia from The Real Housewives of Atlanta was definitely trying to secure her storyline for next season. Okay.
I just feel like every, like, I wish, you know what, I'm really trying to get into Housewives because it just dominates so much of pop culture. And so I started watching the first season a couple weeks ago.
Of Atlanta?
And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Close your legs to married men.
Oh, yes. I'm trying to, like, get through, like, because you can tell that show was, like, you know, when it first came out, it was very much like, we're on reality TV. We're going to produce storylines to make drama. It's very, very much contrived, and I'm trying to get through the beginning stages of it so I can get to the point where I know all of the references and I know what everyone is talking about, because it's just always, I feel like I know so much about the show and I've never seen it because of the fact that it's just so popular.
What I love about the Housewife franchises, especially when they are new, so you get to see, like, the Atlanta from the first season, and as they progressively go on, you get to see how the money comes in. Because I feel like on the first season of Atlanta, the only person who really had a coin was Deshaun. And, yes. You know, that season, Nene was renting a house, and allegedly, Sheree has said over the years that the house was in Kim's name. Like, it was just, it's just so much. And then, like,
really?
They say Big Papa is still married to the woman that he was married to. Like, it's just so much. And then, like, you know, the evolution of Candy, and then out Candy. So I really loved Atlanta. I was all for Atlanta. I fell in love with Nene, but I fell off. And once Nene, like, was not returning, I did not watch this season. So
yeah, I feel like Nene is, like, really the star of the show. And I mean, she's been kind of, like, going back and forth with these producers for, like, I feel like every season we get, like, is Nene finally going to leave? Are they going to get rid of Nene? Like, and if they actually do it, like, that's going to be such a huge blow.
Well, she was not on this current season, and the ratings definitely dropped. And it's weird because it's like, you know, we hear, like, this is the time, because this is what I get excited about, because I follow a lot of Instagrams, like the Real Housewives of Atlanta behind the scenes, and they're, like, people of Atlanta that, like, submit, like, photos of them filming around town, and they really break the tea down. And so the talk around town currently is that, like, there's a cast shakeup. Probably, we don't know if Cynthia's going to return, even though I feel like Cynthia is dead weight, even though I love Cynthia. But they're talking about somebody returning. Probably will be Sheree. We could get Phaedra, but we probably won't get Phaedra because Candy has very openly said if Phaedra returns, like, she won't. But it just sucks because I want Nene to return, but I just don't feel like Nene will. After raising those, like, allegations of...
Exactly, yeah.
Like, you know, racial things. Like, I don't feel like Bravo will want to work with her. But I hope that they can come to some type of arrangement, because the only way that I will watch Atlanta again is if Nene comes back.
I enjoy watching Nene on Housewives, but I also enjoy a lot of her acting. I mean, she hasn't done a ton of it, but she's been a guest star on Glee multiple times. She had a show back in, like, 2012 with Ryan Murphy as well. It was called The New Normal.
The New Normal.
And I really enjoyed watching her. And then I was like, okay, this lady has some acting chops. So, like, you know what? Like, I would love for her to continue to give us more iconic moments and gifts and all that kind of stuff on Housewives. But if she wants to, like, actually take this acting thing seriously, I'm behind that as well. Like, because I enjoy her a lot.
The tea on that is she really hasn't acted in a while. Basically they say she was, like, somewhat, like, blacklisted from Hollywood just due to her antics and behavior. But Nene did open up a new lounge in Atlanta called the Lanithia Lounge. And that's really what she's been promoting. Mind you, because I follow. But that's really what she's been promoting.
Oh, my God. Let's go, Bryce. Let's scope it out. Let's see what it's about.
Listen, we could go. I mean, listen. First of all, she started construction during the pandemic because we know Atlanta never shut down for the pandemic, but that was just a thing in itself. But also, random pivot, with the world opening back up and the CDC saying that if you are fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask outdoors or when you're in a large crowd. The only time that they are saying that you need to wear a mask is when it is mandated by, like the airport or, like, stores. How do you feel about that?
So I'm like, really conflicted, because it does seem very sudden and very random and out of place, because we get so much. Like, first of all, the CDC has been very
chow.
like, look, they've been
very politicized. Like, yes. You know, from the Trump administration, I felt like they received a lot of pressure. And, like, I feel like they just put statements out to kind of, like, when they are receiving pressure. So I just, yeah, like, I feel the same way. I feel like it's only been a year. And don't get me wrong. I have so many mixed thoughts on it. I am excited that they're saying that we don't need to wear a mask. But, baby, I bring my mask everywhere I go. I don't play. Like, I don't know y'all folks. Then it's like, first of all, we had these anti-maskers that did not want to wear masks the whole time. So you think that, and what is the proof that people are actually vaccinated? And the vaccination does not stop you from getting coronavirus. Like, you could still get it. So It's just like, but I get it. The world, like, we need to rejuvenate our economy. And I really feel like that the CDC is getting pressure from the government and basically saying, like, we need to actually get people out in the world. We need travel to go up. We need business. Like, you know, like, we tired of paying for everybody. So that's what I don't think it is in our best interest. It's really what I think.
Yeah, I agree. I was watching The View sometime last week whenever they announced this, and Meghan McCain, someone that I don't necessarily agree with a lot of the time, but she said, yeah, like, I think this is entirely because of the fact that the government doesn't like the fact that the unemployment numbers are still so high. They don't like having to pay out all of these benefits. They want people to feel more comfortable. And also, I think it's a way to incentivize people to get the vaccine. Like, it's like, oh, if you're fully vaccinated, then now you don't have to wear a mask. Now you can go and see your loved ones. You can be indoors and outdoors without a mask. I think that that's really them trying to be like, all right, if you want to feel comfortable, get the vaccine, because now we're starting to see that this is it's helping. I don't know if it's going to work. I mean, it remains to be seen, because we saw for the past 2 weeks that the numbers have sort of plateaued. We're at, like, what, 37% of the adult population vaccinated, and we still have yet to open it up to kids that are, you know, under 16. But yeah, it does feel very, like, I mean, I feel comfortable only because I'm fully vaccinated, but at the same time, I don't necessarily know if this, I don't think that we're at the threshold yet where it's like, oh, we can just stop wearing masks now, because there are still so many people that haven't been vaccinated yet. We could still get a bunch of spikes in numbers. I'm just like, oh, I just feel, I don't know. I don't like it.
Yeah. I don't like it either. And I definitely agree, where I feel like it is an incentive for people to get vaccinated. I forget what governor it was of one of, like, the southern states, where they basically were saying, like, if you show proof that you got vaccinated, you could get a Popeye's chicken sandwich and a biscuit.
Or the governor in Ohio that was like, if you get vaccinated, you're automatically entered into that $1 million lottery. Like, people are out here really, like, pushing these vaccines. Like,
For me, that's just weird. Like, I don't know. Like, for me, I just am a skeptic of, like, tactics like that. Because, one, the Popeye's chicken one, I feel like, okay, that's, you're trying to, like, pander to black people. Like, and I don't like that. Like,
it's real transparent.
But sometimes I just also feel like, you know, for the people that don't want to get vaccinated, they're like, I don't know what's in it. Okay, first of all, some of y'all got 4 baby daddies. Okay, like, how you like, child.
Not
okay?
That.
you don't know what's in a lot of the stuff that you put in your body. So stop playing. Like, but I mean, I understand it. But sometimes some people's, like, rationale for it is like, child, you eat, like, half the stuff that you eat, you can't even pronounce what's in it. So, like, I'm just like,
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I mean, at this point, like, if people are still having vaccine anxiety, I'm just, I just pray for them, to be honest. I don't even mean that in a condescending way. I'm just like, if we're still at the point now where over, like, a centuries of science doesn't convince you that vaccines are doing what they should be doing, and the fact that there are diseases that used to be killing us that are now almost eradicated due to vaccines. Like, if we're still having this conversation in 2021, good luck. Good luck, darling.
So so I do have a little bit of a skepticism for how fast the vaccine has rolled out. I mean, that didn't stop me from getting it. I'm going to get it because, like, you know, I want to spend time with my mom. I want to, like, travel. I want to, like, you know, it's a hot boy summer. But, you know, When I think about, you know, other illnesses that have been around for a while, like, we don't have a cure for cancer. Like, there's still no cure for HIV. And I feel like, you know, that kind of, for me, it's just like, well, how can y'all just create this vaccine so quickly and, like, can we put that same amount of energy into cancer? Can we put that same amount of energy into HIV and AIDS? Because, like, that's still out here killing millions of people around the world. And I think that that is a great segue for one of the first topics on this week's Casual Tea is Billy Porter from Pose, which I love everything about Billy. I think that he is a shining star for our community as Black queer men. And, you know, Billy Porter is breaking his silence about being HIV positive in an emotional interview with The Hollywood Reporter published last Wednesday. The Pose star opened up about his diagnosis 14 years ago, the shame surrounding it, and why he decided to share his story. Porter learned he was HIV positive in 2007, the worst year of his life. He told the publication in a video interview, the diagnosis came soon after he was also diagnosed with type 2 diabetes and filed for bankruptcy. And I think that one that is so powerful for Billy to share his story in regards to being HIV positive, because especially in the Black gay community, it is like something that is very shameful for people and people don't talk about it. And, you know, I know very close people to me that, you know, are dealing with that. And I sympathize with them so much, and I try to be an advocate as much as I can. And, you know, there is one, there's just such a stigma with it because it, like in the 60s and 70s, it was coined as the gay man's virus. So a lot of people are uneducated about it. A lot of people think that it's specifically only with gay men. And even in the gay community, the Black gay community has really been most affected by it. And the stigma of it is that, like, you know, if you have it, you're going to die from it. And I really love the fact that Billy Porter is speaking out about it, because it's changed. Like, you can live with it. You can live an active and healthy life. And even in the interview, Billy Porter said, we're all going to die, but HIV is not something that I'm going to die of. Like, my T cells are twice the amount of any healthy person due to the medication that I'm on. And I love that, because a lot of people are scared of it. A lot of people don't talk about it, especially in our community. And I think that there's a lot of shame that comes with it. And I really just don't believe that there should be shame in it. You have to live in your truth. And sometimes living in your truth is like knowing your status, knowing your diagnosis. And guess what? It's not a death sentence anymore. And there are medication and treatment that people can live with. And so I can't praise Billy enough for this, because one, it's something that needs to be said, but specifically for our community, the Black LGBTQ, it's just like we need more role models like this. And you know, you and I talk a lot about how we don't really have a lot of positive imagery of specifically gay Black men. And here Billy is being a shining star, being 51 years old, like, you know, someone that I can look up to. And so I just am so here for it.
I felt like a lot of things when the news first broke. It was like a lot of heartbreak just to hear his experience, but also, like you just said, like immense pride, because yeah, like that's that, like to hear that like in 2007, and even there's still a stark contrast between the 1990s and 2007, but still, it's still like a very isolating demographic to be a part of. Like, I'm HIV positive. No one wants to hear that. Like, it always just gives people such anxiety about it, because it used to be a death sentence. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that there was just so much apathy, and it was a disease that was only affecting a certain demographic. It was only affecting the Black and brown gay folks. So it was like the government really wasn't trying to put a lot of time and energy and resources into HIV research until it started affecting other people. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we're at this point now where you can live a life with HIV and be undetectable, and it's just, I don't know. I just always feel so bad for all of the people that we lost to get to this point. And I'm glad that someone that was around during that time, like Billy Porter, is able to be like, bitch, I'm a survivor. I came through all of that. And I also just, I love the fact that he's playing, his character on Pose is sort of goes through that exact same experience, and the fact that he kind of could, like, you, because he said that in the interview that he kind of used Pray Tell as a vessel to sort of like deal with all of his trauma and, you know, right. be as honest as he could. And I don't know, that to me, just, that's just poetry to me. I just love that entire thing.
For sure. And I, when I was watching his interview, something that was like so powerful for me was that he was saying, like, Pray Tell died 1 year, and I don't know if his character has died yet, and I was like, oh, are you revealing the plot? But he basically was saying that Pray Tell died 1 year before the antiviral vaccine, like, medicine came out. And Billy was just saying, like, you know, like, that's not me. And I am actually here in living proof that, like, it works and that, like, that's not my story. And I just love it. I also think that there is, when we talk about shame, and there's this big push, you know, in, like, the community, is like, know your status, like, you know, like, get tested. And I also, like, and one thing that I learned through one of my friends who is positive, and this was, like, maybe the time that I was in college, and it was, like, a big push to get, like, tested. And I remember I was like, you know, people should know their status. And, like, you know, there are a lot of people, like, posting that they had got tested. And my friend had, like, broke it down to me. He was like, that's not, like, the message that we want to put out there. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? People are, like, you know, getting their, like, no, like, knowing their status. And he's like, it's a very one-way street, because it's like these people are only posting their status if it's negative. So it's not, like, so much about, like, oh, get tested and promote your status. No, it's get tested and know for yourself. Because, like, you know, if you get tested and you are negative and you posting that, that's kind of like a form of, like, shame to the other people. Like, you know, so it's like, right. And I never thought about it in that lens. And so, like, ever since my friend had broke that down to me, I've always been to my friends and family, like, to promote, like, safe sex and to promote, like, get tested, like, and know your status for yourself. You don't need to share with anybody, but know your status for yourself. And that's something that, like, you need to know moving forward. And I had recently shared that one of my old coworkers' son had came out to me. And again, like, I was just, like, so blessed in the sense of, like, you know, having a resource that I never had. And I was just, like, so happy, because, like, you know, we talk and we communicate and we kiki and we cut up. And so, like, the more he, like, shares with me, the more I always say, like, you do, like, if you do anything, make sure you wrap it up, okay? Like, yep. And that's anything. That's oral, that's, you know, anal, anything. And it's like, you know, I'm just blessed that I can be a vessel, because there are so many people in our community that, even with, like, HIV and AIDS running rampant, no one talks about, like, they don't get, like, sex education at home. And I even think of, like, you know, how much of a ally my mom is. But, you know, I never had that conversation. Like, me and my mom never had that conversation of, like, safe sex. And so, like, it is important that some of these people growing up, like, they don't even have any knowledge. And we know, especially with our Black and brown community, like, sometimes they get put out of the house for being gay, and then they are in the streets, and, like, you know, they meet older people that take advantage, and they don't have any education. And so it's like, I always just try to, like, give that information, like, no, you need to wrap it up, and anybody that's telling you not to, you need to let them go, like, because it's not worth it. Like, you have your whole life ahead of you.
It's so funny, because my mom, whenever Billy Porter's interview dropped, my mom texted me that morning, and she said, Billy Porter is HIV positive. Son, use a condom every time. Men will lie to your face and pretend like they ain't out here harboring diseases, SMH. I don't care if so-and-so says he loves you. Unless you are in a committed relationship, use condoms. Okay, have a nice day. I love you.
Oh, okay. Yes, drop that knowledge and drop the mic, mama. Okay?
My mom has always kind of been like that as well. Like, because you're so right about the education thing. And the more and more, the older that I get, and the more and more that I realize, like, damn, there really was no LGBT
no
aspect to any of this. And I'm like, that, it just seems so crazy to me, because why the hell not? Especially for us, when we were going to school, coming out of the 90s, when HIV and AIDS was killing everybody. So it's like, the fact that y'all would not try to include that in the education system, it just baffles my mind. But thankfully my mom has always sort of been very, very vocal with my sister and I about safe sex and all types of sex, like, whether, like, like, she was so neurotic about it that I remember that we, in fifth grade, we had this lady come in to teach the class about sex or whatever. And then after we were done, she picked us up from school and she was like, okay, so what did you guys learn? And we were like, yeah, so sex is like when a man and a woman lie down. And she was like, nope, let me stop you right there. You don't have to be lined on to have sex. You can have sex standing up. And I was like, oh my God, Mom, we get it. Like, we understand. Like, calm yeah. down.
I'm here for Mama Alwyn because even the sex education that they teach us in school is so limited. It's like, it it's is. Not even it, the it really real is. Deal. And I always feel like one of, like, you know, when we were talking about, like, trans rights and we're talking about, like, you know, trans people being able to use, like, whatever bathroom that they identify, and it's, like, making headlines, and people have, like, all of these opinions about it, and I'm like, y'all worried about a bathroom, I'm worried about, like, how about we get, like, LGBTQ, like, education, sex education in the curriculum, like, you, like, for me, it's, like, the things that they choose to politicize sometimes are always, like, baffling to me, because it's, like, the most minute point when there are, like, real things that could really affect people's health and wellness that I feel like we should be focusing on. So yeah, it's just, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. But I just, I stand with Billy, and I love it. And I love the fact that he is using his platform. And, you know, like he said, it took, like, he lived in shame and he lived so in long. Fear. And he was like, you know, and another interesting point of the interview that he was talking about was saying that, like, how he beat himself up for years. And he was like, we all beat ourselves up for years. But it's the fact that he's in a healthy and committed relationship. And now that they are talking about expanding their family, he's like, I've got to live in my truth because it's not about me anymore. Like, I've got a partner. I want to have children. And it's about a legacy. And so I love that conversation. And again, I try to use my podcast as a place to curate conversations that don't normally, that are very taboo, that people don't talk about, but they need to talk about. And so I just, I'm here for Billy, and I love it. And I think that we need more people like Billy to stand up and, you know, mm-hmm. to really change the stigma. Because if the stigma was not what it is, that, like, you're going to die of it, I think that a lot of more people would come out and live in their truth, and it could only makes for more awareness for people to be more safer. And, you know, I pray that in our lifetime that there is a cure for it and that it does not plague
I think
our
there will be.
Community like it does. I hope so, but I'm just saying, like,
I mean, if you look at some of the studies of, like, I mean, there was a guy that got, like, a bone marrow transplant. And this guy, he was HIV positive, and the bone marrow that he got was from a guy that was HIV negative, obviously. And then all of a sudden, it really started to clear up his HIV. So I think that we are really on the precipice. I think, like, within the next 10 years, we're going to get that drug. And I can't wait for it, because there's just, like you said, there's just so much stigma, and so much, people are still very much uneducated about it. Like, it's like, until there is a cure, which is, like, I think the unfortunate reality of it all, until there was, like, a cure, people are never going to stop having that, ew, HIV, ew, like, dirty right. gay. Like, you know what I mean? And it sucks that it has to come to that, but that's just how we work as human beings.
And it's not that there hasn't been progress. Like, you know, they've got the PrEP medication out that is mm-hmm. essentially like an HIV blocker. So if, like, you are on PrEP and you come across the virus, it's almost like the corona vaccine. It's not a vaccine, but it is a blocker. And so that, like, again, a lot of people are not aware of that. They don't promote it. It's just like again, a never ending cycle. And I really hope that, you know, that they can put the corona rush on it, because we've been dealing with it for decades. And I think that it's time to change it, and time for, you know, our community to really shine. Mm-hmm. But again, I can't say enough how, like, proud I am of Billy Porter, and he's definitely a role model and someone that I look up
to.
And
he's from Pittsburgh. Hey, put it on the map. Put it on the map. Hey.
Well, okay, well, I'll take the PA too. Okay, hey, PA. Yes. And then, so let's keep, you know, the tea pouring. I thought that this was an interesting one, was that Texas governor has signed a law that bans abortion as early as 6 weeks, with the cutoff point being the detection of a fetus heartbeat, and no exceptions being made to those who are victim of rape or abuse. The unique law signed by Greg Abbott on Wednesday prohibits state officials from enforcing the ban, but allows anyone else to sue a medical provider if they suspect them to be in violation of the rule. And when the governor signed this bill, there was this photo that was posted, and all white men and women, and all older, and all looking like child, looking like they got a red hat in their drawer. And I'm just like, here we are in 2021, and they are still trying to control women's bodies and rights, and trying to do it under the Bible. It's just like, now, mm-hmm. I have my own thoughts and opinion on abortion. I'm not a huge fan of it, but I don't have a uterus, and that's not my right to say. I do think that there should be a cutoff point for abortion, but I don't, like 6 weeks, some people don't even find they pregnant out until like eight, like, you know, so I just feel like they just show no empathy to women. And I just feel like, and again, I feel like they try to do this under the Bible and all of this stuff. And I'm just like, people love to use the Bible for like their agendas, but forget all the other things that the Bible said. Like, it's just like, miss me with the Bible and stop trying to politicize something that is like very delicate to a woman's body. It's a woman's choice and a woman's right. And then for them to say that even if a woman is raped or abused, like, excuse me. I just like, Texas, what's up with y'all?
If this is like an argument tale as old as time, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we're just never going to stop having these conversations because it is so touchy and it is so back and forth. Like, because I mean, I just listening to you, I feel like I'm in the same boat as you. Like, I feel like I am all for children being able to grow up and be children, you know what I mean? Like,
right,
the death of a human doesn't really sit well with, I don't think it sits well with anybody,
right?
But we have to like remember that these types of decisions that are being made are not always on a whim. Like, I feel like when these conversations are always had, they're always like the example that's put up is always like, oh well, so that just means that a woman can just keep getting pregnant and keep aborting the baby. Like, no woman is doing that. Like, no one is like, people, I'm sure there's maybe one or two out there, but no one is like having sex, getting pregnant for the sole purpose of then aborting the child. Like, that's not, we're talking right. about rape, we're talking about a mistake, we're talking about like real life that happens that surrounds this problem, and for the government to be able to have the overall say so of what you can and cannot do with your body, that to me is, that's the thing that Trump saw. I'm like, you know what, you're right, maybe it's not the ideal situation that I want to see someone in, but I also don't want to strip that person of their choice, because that's them and I'm me. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
We can't like sit here and act like we should just give up all rights to the government. It just doesn't make sense. So, and I just feel like we're just always going to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, because both parts of the argument feel like they are in the right. And it's like, how do you convince the other one that you're, it's, I don't know. Yeah. It's so exhausting.
It's just,
I just pray that I'm never in that situation. Like, I mean, I wouldn't, because I'm not a woman, but like, I just pray that like I never have to, you know, be a part of a decision like that, because it's hard.
Yeah.
I think that's what's missing in that bill, is like that part of it. It's like, it's not an easy decision.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, like they're using the extreme cases of like a woman using it as if it's birth control, but not looking right. at it as a woman making an informed decision about her body. Like, maybe right. she's in a situation where honestly she cannot afford it. She's not in the best position. And like, it's just like, and again, I feel like they again dismiss like all the trauma that I just think about, like, the trauma that a woman must go through to actually, like, to go through it. And y'all out here making it seem like they're playing with it. And I just feel right. like I don't like that. And again, I feel like it is a woman's choice and it's a woman's body. And it's their right. Now, again, I do err on the side of, I do feel like there should be a cutoff point where,
yeah, definitely, definitely,
you know, like, yeah, no, you're too far along, ma'am.
Like, we're but not, I you know, do, we're not aborting this baby when you're like 7 months in. It's not happening. You know? Like, right. Of course, there needs to be.
There needs to be a reasonable, like, time frame. And again, like, I know people don't agree with that, and I get it. Like, you know, it's a life, and I'm all for life. But again, I'm all for the person that has life that, you know, the life is it. Like, you know, so it is definitely a delicate subject, and I think that it's one that needs to talk about to be handled with care. But I just, like, when I read these, like, these bills and I see these lawmakers, and I used to work down the street from a Planned Parenthood that did abortions. And I think they did abortions on, like, Tuesdays and Thursdays. And always on Tuesdays. And mind you, it was, like, down the street from, like, this deli that I used to go to for lunch. So I would, like, walk to the deli. And on Tuesdays and Thursdays, there would literally be a mob. And I'm not making this up. Of all older white men, like, holding signs of, like, pictures of fetus. And, like, literally harassing women that were going into the clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, when, and it's just like, one, like, and y'all think that's cool, like, you, like you think that that's cool. And then again, another thing that was, like, so annoying for me during the last presidential run was what, like, this talk about Planned Parenthood and saying, like, oh, we need to stop funding them because, like, they're just putting out abort. Like, no, first of all, that's not that all Planned Parenthood does, okay? I was a social worker for children and youth, and there were plenty of times that I had children that, like, left out of care and that would come back into care and, like, needed physical. They needed, like, you know, birth control. They needed so much. There was so much more that Planned Parenthood does that I felt like in the last election was, like, trying to just make it seem like all they were doing was, like, an abortion shop. Like, no. And then it's like, you think about, when you think about abortion, and it's like, if you are making in this state this law that they can't get after 6 weeks, first of all, you know, people are still going out here trying to do it. And, like, you know, then that puts them even more at risk for going to a place that's not, it's just like, like, you talking about saving a life, but you're not even talking about, like, you're not even considering the life of this woman. It's just so backwards to me.
The thing that I always think about, and this point gets brought up a lot of the time too, is that, you know, especially in all of these Texas is a prime example, because you are, I believe that we can walk and chew gum at the same time. I believe in multitasking. I get it. But it just seems, something seems off to me, the fact that people are so stalwart against abortion and they consider it murder and all of this stuff. But y'all literally had a whole devastating ass snowstorm and you didn't blink twice. Like, it's like, where, like, I don't. If life is life is life is life, then why are we? I just don't understand. It's just such a double standard. That, to me, that's why I'm like, this isn't. I don't think it's strictly about, you know, whatever your belief system is. I feel like people just like to.
I know we treading down, like, thin ice, and again, I don't like to make comparisons. But for me, though, like, this group that is so pro-life and so, like, you know, save the children, you know, okay, you want to save a life, but then when we say Black Lives Matter, child, y'all want to say all lives matter. Like, I'm like, well, okay, well, I guess this, like, you know, George Floyd's life didn't matter. Like, you know, do it. But then when you get them down that road, then they want to switch. Like, so it's like, for me, I just feel like it's very one-sided. And it's like, mm-hmm. it's either you see that way of thinking, or there's no other way. And I'm just like, oh, okay, but you're not trying to save this black man's life. You're not trying, like, you know, black lives don't matter. So it's like, for me, it's such a, I don't know, I get so emotional about it, because it's like, I just feel like you're only looking at it through this narrow scope. Mm-hmm. and you're not looking at the whole picture. You want to Bible preach to people, and these are the same people that say we going to hell for abomination. And I'm just like, I just have like such a problem with that. And again, I'm a very spiritual person. I grew up in the church, but the older I get, the more I find that I am more spiritual than I am like
religious.
Into the Bible. Right. Because I just feel like, you know, and again, this is like a random subject, but it's like, you know, a lot of the times people don't talk about like how they push Christianity onto the slaves in order and use religion to control them.
Hello.
So, I mean, you know, people don't like to talk about that. Like,
is
it's
it me
like
you're looking for.
But I mean, listen, I won't go down that road, but it's like, y'all don't want to talk about that. Like, and then like, you know, the Bible is man written and it's just like, but again, I always feel like the things that people choose to focus on and try to condemn others, but it's like, baby, you know what else it says in there? Like you know, what's other things in there that we not supposed to do that everybody do, but y'all okay with that?
It's like, but it's people are just ready to cast judgment because they feel, you know what? I was talking to my mom many years
ago.
Yes,
come on. Give me more stories of mama all with.
We were talking about homosexuality. I think I was in middle school at the time. And she was saying to me, she was like, you know what? I think that people, because there are gay people and because there are straight people that are never going to be gay, if you happen to be straight and you happen to be Christian, and then you look in the Bible and you talk and you find how homosexuality, this, that, and the third, abomination, all sorts of shit, because you're straight and you're never, ever going to be gay, to you and your mind and your reality, yes, of course, being gay is wrong because I'm straight and that's what I know. So how could everyone else not be straight? And I feel like the same thing happens with abortion. It's like, until you end up in a situation where you're like, ooh, it's not as black and white as like,
but
save the child, save the one. There's so much more nuance that goes into it. And I feel like a lot of people just don't know how to put themselves in that situation. All they can see in front of them is life versus death. And of course, they're going to choose life.
Right. And I always feel like, and this kind of brings me to the subject of I always feel like it is always the oppressed people that have to, like, it's the people that are oppressed, the people that have like the people that have the least say, the voices are the most silenced, but yet then we got to turn around and have empathy and be the teachers for people. And again, like to that point that you were saying, like if a straight heterosexual man, like all he knows is being straight, like we can understand why he would feel that way about like homosexuality. But then I also look at it at the point of, well, if that is their way of thinking, then me as a gay man, I should look at heterosexuality like, oh, disgusting. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's all I know. So, but again, like we are to show love and show empathy, and we have to be the ones that turn around and are, you know, ridiculed or ostracized. But then at the same time, we have to show love. And that's why I'm like, no, everyone needs to stop thinking, like, I just feel like everyone has to show empathy. Everyone has to show love. Like, we're all different. We all don't experience, we all don't see things the other way. Like, we can't judge other people. And I feel like I just feel like, because I'm one of a marginalized community, and I feel like, you know, I always just show love. I try not to judge people. I try not to, like,
right,
you know, like make judgment. I try to just take it for what it is and listen to the person and then try to show empathy and support. And I feel like more people need to do that. But again, I'm only speaking for myself, who is a double minority, whose voice is oftentimes silenced, who people don't hear me. And I just think that, again, if we could just come from a place of love, come from a place of empathy, stop judging people, stop casting like these, like stop throwing stones, and you live in a glass condo.
Not a condo.
Yeah.
Yes. No, no, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I just think that we all have to do better at trying to put ourselves in someone else's shoes before we cast these sweeping judgments of everybody
because
else.
Because listen, baby, we all living in Yeah. I'm sorry. I was just saying, we all live in a sin. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like yeah. no one is perfect. And again, for you to like want to throw a stone, it's like you're hypocritical. Like, stop. And again, those type of hypocritical actions are things that lead to, like, when we're talking about Billy Porter and people with HIV and AIDS and they're dying and living in shame and not, like, you know what I mean? Like, that is, like, mm-hmm. how these things repeat themselves. No, stop that. We have to do better. And I try to hold myself to a higher standard. And I always try to preach my love and preach, you know, and the key word is try, because I ain't going to be no hypocrite, because listen, I fall short a lot of the times, but I'm on a roll to a better price, and I try to recognize where I fall short, and I actively work on it. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm perfect. I'm far from it, but I actively try to work. I actively try to be transparent. So, I mean, yeah, this topic is just so draining, and it just can lead to so many other things
And that's why I keep saying I truly don't think that we're going to see the end of this argument anytime soon. I think that this is something that's just going to continue to get volleyed in politics forever, because it's just so... people have their beliefs and they hold tight to them and they hold fast to them, and it's hard. It's I don't know. I just pray that I'm never in the position.
Yeah. I just, tell me if you think this sounds mean, but I just am like, why y'all worried about her uterus? Like, mind your business. Like, you don't got something else better to do.
Yeah, why are you all up in there? Like, it,
I just
are,
like, am
are
like,
you gonna, are you helping, sir? Like, are you going to like?
That's
leave them alone. Leave them alone.
Mind your business. You don't got a garden to care to. Like, you don't have like that's. I don't
like,
know.
Can I help you? Like,
right. Like, yeah. Why are you in my cervix? Like, I'm just confused. Like, I thought this was mine. I didn't, like, again, I just, that's kind of just what I think about it. But, again, and I'm open to hear, like, I respect and I hear other people's opinion, and I understand where you come from. But, again, I also understand where other people come from. I've supported a friend, like, when we were in high school, that found out that they had an early pregnancy, and I hookied school. I emptied out my allowance to help support my friend, and I just will never forget that, like, you know, I like cut school, we like, and I supported my friend through that, and I just will never forget that experience, and mm-hmm. I'll never forget, like, what my friend went through, and like, and to know that, like, how she felt in that moment, I have to stand with the women. Like, and I will forever be a shoulder that you could cry on. I will do whatever I can do to support a friend, and with no judgment. And, yeah, I just,
I have a similar experience, so I totally understand. Totally understand.
It was just, like, it's a lot. But... keeping the tea pouring, another senator came out this week, and I thought that this was somewhat interesting. Let me get my little topics up. where are we at? So, I don't even know how we feel about this senator, but I thought the topic was interesting. But Senator Marco Rubio says it's time to start talking about UFOs seriously in this country, especially on Capitol Hill, because he says, frankly, they're a threat. The legislator from Florida who headed up the Senate Intelligence Committee, my screenshot cut off. Oh, here it is. Headed up my screenshot cut off. And I'm like, wait a minute. This ain't what I'm screening. Who headed up the Senate Intelligence Committee just last year spoke openly on the taboo subject, saying despite the snickering that still goes on, he wanted answers on unexplained aerial phenomenal. In Sunday's 60 Minutes interview, Rubio said regarding of what these things may or may not be, they pose a serious risk to our national security, seeing how they're constantly being spotted floating in around our airspace without any explanation. To Rubio, that's a problem that needs addressing. So, first of all, when I read that, and he was like, it's a serious problem in this country, and on Capitol Hill, I'm like, you want to share something with us that you don't know? Why specifically Capitol Hill?
Let me tell you something. If Marco Rubio winds up missing in the next couple of months...
Okay, like, but when I read that, I like literally, I was like, "Well, okay, if you say in the country, but why are you named like you know?" That's just like me saying, "Like Ahmad, watch out! It's hailing in Philly, but also in West Philly. So watch out in West Philly too." Like, I like it. Like for me, that's just like, "Well, child, well, what's going on in West Philly? Like, y'all know something in Capitol." Something tried to, like, beam y'all Look, up in Capitol Hill?
Area 51, I want to know. I just want to know what's going on over there, because why can't the general populace know? Why? Why can't we know? I mean, I kind of agree. I agree with Marco Rubio. I think that there should be...
On this.
More studies. Yeah, on this. I think that there should be more studies and more... exploration of the great unknown, because I just think that we would be entirely stupid if we truly believed that we were the only sentient beings within this universe. That just doesn't make sense. We think that we think that Earth, out of this vast universe, is the only thing that has an intelligent person on it with technology. It's just not. So I agree. There have been weird sightings of unidentified flying objects, whatever the hell you want to call it, UAP, UFO, whatever. And why not? Why not? I mean, if there's a whole section of the government, Area 51, that is like hidden off to the public, then something must be going on. You know what I mean? And why not? Why not? Elon Musk is trying to colonize Mars. Like, we're on the...
First of all, where is Elon Musk? Okay, where is Elon Musk? Okay, after the Dodge coin then dropped, baby, did the alien scoop him up? Because he sure been mighty quiet these last couple of days.
Yeah, they got him up out of there.
Okay, but so I never really gave any thought of life form out there, or like I never really paid it any attention. But I'll never forget, in 12th grade, I had to take because in like 9th grade I had taken like 3 math classes to try to like, and so my 12th grade year I did not have to take a math class, and so like my counselor was like, well, you can take astronomy or astrology, and I was like, oh, that sounds easy. And so, but mind you, it was actually kind of hard. And I remember, like, my teacher, her name was Dr. Deacon. She was a little, like, you know, a little different, but I really liked her. And I remember learning about, you know, the galaxy, the universe. And I remember, like, just trying to comprehend in my head of actually how big, like, the universe, our galaxy is. Is like, it's so big that like we can't even really explain how to measure it. And like the galaxy that we are currently in, that child, we could barely get to Pluto, is a relatively small galaxy in the whole spectrum of things. And so when I was learning it in that aspect, I'm like, it's almost relatively impossible for us to be the only life forms out there, honestly, because it's like, when you just look at like, what are the odds that it's just us and we in this sub small universe galaxy, and there are galaxies that are like trillions and trillions and trillions of, like, you know, times bigger than ours. Like, we probably just are missing them.
You're getting into the multiverse theory. And Neil deGrasse Tyson is a big proponent of this. I believe Elon Musk is kind of a big proponent of this as well. Like, his ass just keeps coming up. But yeah, there's shit out there, y'all. I have never personally seen anything or like felt anything or anything like that. But like, I've definitely, like, I had a friend of mine who said that she was, I think she was like driving through Texas or something with her family, some like some one of those desert flyover states. I don't remember where. But in the middle of nowhere, she's driving down the road, and all of a sudden, there's this big-ass thing in the sky that they're both that everybody in the car can see. And like, wait, what the hell is that? And it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And they, when they got close to it, they could see there was like a ring around it. They were like, oh my God, that's a fucking planet. And then they start taking their phones out to take photos and videos and everything. All she said, and I bullshit you not, she said all of their phones at the same time shut off. They all shut off at the same time. And when they turned them back on, all of the photos were gone. All of them. So I'm like,
first of all, get me out of Texas, okay?
So, yeah. I mean, I've never experienced anything like that, but I just...
I think it's uneducational of us not to believe that there is not something out there.
And quite downright narcissistic to believe that we're the right ones. It just doesn't make
and mind sense. You, and we ain't even that smart. Like, so I'm just saying, right. Like, and again, I always feel like, you know, there's like movies of like The Walking Dead, and like there are like so many movies out there. And I feel like, where did they get the inspiration for some of these movies? Like, for instance, like I think there was a movie in like maybe 1999, 2000, might have been with Morgan Freeman, like literally called Quarantine, that was like very similar to like the quarantine that we just went through. Like, I just feel like where are they getting this inspiration from? Because yeah, like I don't believe that, like, you know, the other. And mind you, what's the correct term for like the other intelligence? Like, because I'm about to say aliens, and I don't even think that. I think even using the term alien is like kind of also just lends into the unbelievable. But what does UF stand for? Unidentified life form, or
yeah, like UFO stands for unidentified flying object. Yeah.
Okay. So I just feel like there is other life form, but it just maybe not might be in the form of what we like think of it as,
right?
You know,
like we think of everything so like humanoid, because that's kind
right.
of
right. ET phone home, like, you know, right. I don't know, I don't believe in that, but
it doesn't have to be like that. Yeah, there could be life that is more intelligent than we are, and they don't take the same shape or form that we do. I think that a lot of people just get really. They don't like thinking about this kind of stuff because it reminds them, oh shit, like, I'm really just a small bit, yes, in this vast universe. And it makes people feel very uncomfortable, because it's just, you know, if you have to spend every moment of every day thinking about just how small and inconsequential you are, it's kind of like, well, what is the meaning of my life then? I think that people just kind of get like this big existential crisis, and they don't like to go down this path. But right. I'm the opposite. I'm like, I want to know. I want to know everything.
So
the point of life is discovery. Like, let's figure it out together, y'all. Like, come on. So,
and I like, and again, not to go down this conspiracy theory about UFOs, but I do feel like with Senator Rubio, like, even like name dropping Capitol Hill, and the fact that, like, you know, Area 49, we know nothing about. It's like sealed information. And the fact that, like, you know, we continue these explorations to space. You know, we just sent a rover to Mars. We know that China's in Mars. I feel like they are sometimes not honest with us for the real reason as to why, like, we are going up there. You know, and I just feel like you, like, and again, I feel like, what do they say? Like, life or something imitates life, or like, imitation of life, life imitation, or like movies or theater, or like theater imitates life and life imitates theater. Well, child, I'm just saying, in the last like 5 to 6 years, I've seen more and more like movies and more series based on the fact that, like, we gotta leave Earth, and that, like, you know, we have to go somewhere else. And so that's just sometimes where my mind goes to things like that. Like, what are we really going to Mars for? Like, you don't think maybe like some of that money could maybe just be spent on like our school system, like our education, the pollution, like, you know, like, what, like, for me, that's kind of like the type of things that I think about, because I'm just like, but I mean, I don't have any answers or anything, but it just, for me, just really makes me think about different things. And I definitely believe that it's just, again, taking me back to my 12th grade year from Dr. Deacon, when I was fail my test on like how to like calculate the space and the thing, and just really understanding.
Come on, Dr.
How,
Deacon.
Yes. And mind you, I call her Dr. Deacon back then, and she like would hate it. But it really just like for me to understand, like I've always been crazy. For me to just really understand these like how ginormous it is, like that I can't even like fathom how ginormous it is. Just to think that we're the only ones, it's just like, it's like for me,
it's
that almost impossible, right? So I don't know. Hopefully we get some answers. Hopefully Capitol Hill is safe.
I really hope so, too. Like, that is, like, one of the biggest, like, I have a little bit of Peter Pan syndrome. Like, I always, like, sort of, like, have feared growing old and death and all that. But, like, the biggest thing, it's not even that I want to just, like, continue living. The biggest thing for me is, like, damn, like, we are
really
gonna
miss out on nothing.
Yes, I'm going to miss out on, like, the next big technological boom. Like, I think that space travel really is the next big thing that's going to happen for us. And I feel like as soon as I'm about to leave this earth is when we make the biggest breakthrough. I'm going to be so pissed about it because I want to see. I want to know. It makes me so mad.
No, I agree. But who knows? You might come back as a butterfly and you might be able to observe and see. Like, I don't know.
Maybe.
So, but yeah, I do feel that way because I also, and I don't even know how we get in on this subject, but I also feel like I hope I'm around for like the flying cars. And I feel like we're getting there because the drones are getting more and more advanced. Like, I know some places like have drone deliveries.
Yep.
And I read this article the other day, and mind you, I'm going to butcher the name, but it was like some like new flying jet that they were trying to develop that basically, like, they're saying for, like, $100, you can get anywhere on the earth in an hour. Okay?
Oh, baby. What?
And then I was reading the comments, and somebody was like, well, they tried that with something else, and it didn't work. But I'm just like, okay. I mean, listen, I would be here for that. But that's the type of stuff that kind of sort of excites me. Like, I want to be around for, like, the flying cars. Like, I, like, you know, and again, like I said, and I don't know what the analogy is. So Purple Pants Posse, somebody tell me, where it's like life imitates art or art imitates life. And it's like, well, listen, we've been watching the Jetsons for a long time, okay? I'm waiting to fly in the air. So, but yeah, that's just a subject that we can like talk on and on forever. But again, I think it's interesting. I love anytime I see them documentaries about space travel and different stuff, listen, you can lock me in on it because I think it's so good.
Did you watch the thing on Netflix with Neil deGrasse Tyson, Cosmos?
No.
You would have loved it. I don't think it's on there anymore, though.
Wait, explain it to me, though, because I've seen so much on Netflix.
It's sort of like a docu-series about, you know, just astrophysics and everything, and it's hosted by Neil deGrasse Tyson, and it's like 8 episodes, I believe, and he just kind of just talks about all of the mysteries of our universe, and it's really, really well done. I don't think it's on there anymore, but I'm sure it's available somewhere, but I loved it. I watched it at least like 3 times in a row, all episodes, because it was so well done.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I'm going to Google that, see if I can find it on Daily Motion.
Yes.
Then, another topic that came about my desk was through the TikTok. There's like this viral TikTok going on about internal dialogue. And that, you know, and the internal dialogue is in the sense of like you in your head talking to yourself, like, you know, like, do I gotta go to the bathroom? Like, no, I don't gotta go pee, I gotta go poop. Or like, am I thirsty, do I want a juice? Like, or, you know, you go into the store, you be like, why do that lady got that on? Or you in class and you like, if she don't shut up, or if you are like, you know, just your internal dialogue that you have with yourself. And a recent study, it has shown that only 50% of people have an internal dialogue. And I was like,
so do you have one?
No, I do not have an internal dialogue. What I have is a news station with workers and families and cousins, okay, going on simultaneously. Like, yes, I have an internal dialogue. Of course. Child, I'm talking to myself.
Oh my God, I really fell for that. I was like, wait, what?
I don't just have an internal dialogue. I feel like I got a network of dialogues that, like, I don't understand how you cannot have an internal dialogue.
I found out about this earlier last year, and it has been sort of been blowing my mind ever since. Like, I don't get it either. Also, there's a condition called aphantasia, where it's a condition where one does not possess a functioning mind's eye and cannot voluntarily visualize imagery. So, like, you don't have an imagination. You, like, when you read books, you just read the words, but you don't see the scene in your head. There are people that, like, I have a friend of mine, I was like, because I tweeted about it, and I was like, does anybody have this? And then my friend was like, yeah, that's me. And I was like, wait, so, like, do you know what I look like if you don't look at me? And he's like, kind of. Like, I'll recognize you if I see you, but, like, if you're not in front of me, then I can't visualize your face. And I'm like, what? Like, that's so crazy to me that there are people out here just...
And for me, like, and even, I'll even take it a step further. Like, I always talk about how I am a, like, smeller. Like, and people always think that I'm, like, weird by that. But, like, no. I literally, like, have to, like, catalog smells in my head because I just want to know what everything smells like. And, like, smell for me is... triggers memories, triggers thoughts, triggers, like, you know, I could be like, I could smell something and it will literally take me back to like third grade when I was like sitting in the class and I got kicked out. And so it's just like, for somebody that has, like, you know, what you had, I just am curious to know, like, what their thought and senses are like. But when I had posted the TikTok story, sorry to cut you off, to my Instagram, and one of my doctor friends, Dr. Morgan Medros, she like wrote to me and was like, this also fascinates me. I asked a psychiatrist colleague about it once, and she explained it's something that we all have the ability to generate. For an example, somebody without an active internal dialogue can read a passage silently in their mind, but not everyone has the natural sort of active dialogue that arises naturally and constantly throughout the day. And so I thought that took it a step further because when I first thought of it, I was like, well, how do they read silently? And so then obviously reading this from my doctor friend, from her psychiatrist, was saying that, like, you know, people can read to themselves, but it's the act of like having that, like, for me, like that party in your head.
Right. I think in a lot of ways, I mean, it sounds very, very crazy to me that people don't have that internal dialogue. But when it comes to stuff like reading, I feel like it probably serves them better. I feel like they probably read much more quickly than we do, because at least when I read, I hear the words in my head. So yeah. I can't skim. I can't, like.
Well, and that's part of my problem. When I was in school, because low-key, I really feel like I'm dyslexic. But a lot of the problems, like, always in class, people were always like, can you not read? Like, can you read to yourself? Because I'm one of the people that, like, reads silently to myself because I know. I don't know why I'm sharing this with y'all. But in school, I had issues when, like, it was, like, silent reading. Like, I would read, and then, like, say, like, we could be reading, like, a mind goes to the store. At the store, there are three apples. In my mind, then, I'd be like, well, shit, well, what color were the apples? And I wonder what the store, like, I would literally go on my own story. And so, it's just, like, yeah, like, I have a very active internal dialogue. And for me, honestly, I feel like that keeps me sane. But I just, like, my question is, for the people that do not have an active dialogue, bitch, what the hell are you doing? Like, what? Like, what is happening? Like, what?
I think it's just like maps. I think it's just like imagery to them. Like, it's sort of like, instead of thinking to myself, I have to use the bathroom, you just like have a thought in your head that's like, without the words, but it's just like, oh, pee, go. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have to have that conversation with themselves. It's just that it's an impulse from what I can understand.
That to me sounds very, like, animalistic.
I mean, well, We're animals.
I mean, and again, we, like, I mean, yeah, I don't know. But for me, the older I get, the more I try to, like, harness my inner dialogue. Like, half of the fact of, like, me running sometimes is because it helps me sort out my inner dialogue.
Me too. Oh, I love running. It just, it, yes, I feel that so, yes.
Because, like, honestly, like, when I run, it's almost like I can, like, decompartmentalize and like, oh yeah, I was like, because like literally when I say I have like constant internal dialogues, like I be having so many I forget, and I gotta remember to like go back to the end. Like it's just like I don't know, maybe that's what makes me and so like kind of crazy and quirky, but I never thought of what it would be like not to have that internal dialogue.
It's just, it baffles my mind. The same thing with aphantasia too. I don't understand how people cannot have. I was talking about it with my family actually, and my dad was like, "That sounds like such cruel and unusual punishment to not have an imagination." But there are people out here that are just, that's just not how they. I don't get it. Like I literally can replay movies that I've seen in my head, and there are people that cannot do that. I'm just, oh, I'm like, then what are you thinking about half the time? It's just.
Yeah, or like, say you get into an argument with somebody, and then it's like, how do you replay the argument? Like, I don't know. And maybe I'm the only person, but like, child, like when I used to be in school, and like, say I got into like a fight with somebody, I was like having a beef with somebody, baby, I would be in the shower practicing my cuss out. Like, you know, like, ooh, try me if you want. That's why you not in the sign. Like, you, like, I, like, I, again, and I always feel like the internal dialogue for me is like anyone that watches Insecure said that the fifth season is going to be the final season. But like when you see Issa Rae and she like always raps to herself in the mirror, like, you know, for me, that's like what an inner dialogue is. But yeah, I definitely have. And I just am like, so what if you are talking to someone and you're close with them and like. Close in proximity and their breath smells.
I guess you're just like nasty. Tell this person. I don't know. I can't like my brain can't wrap my I can't think of it. I guess it's
cuz I just
it's just impulse. It's just like you don't have to talk to yourself about it. You kind of just do it. It's kind of like breathing. Like how you don't have to tell your body to breathe. It just does. I think that's kind of like what it is for them in their heads. They're just they have thoughts and that's it just is what it is and like I said, and a lot of it is, I feel like that probably serves a lot of people better. Like I think it probably makes you a faster reader, a faster thinker, because you don't have these thoughts. You don't have to like formulate thoughts first, you just do it, you know what I mean? Like
right. And yeah, it's for me, talking about it makes my internal dialogue go faster. But I also, so another one of my friends reached out to me and was like that they know, or now mind you, now this ain't based in fact. This is what one of my friends said, and I could see how it makes sense, was that they said, in her opinion, people that do not have an internal dialogue are more prone to, like, you, like, and not abuse, but to use, like, drugs or alcohol, because it kind of sort of brings them a form of internal dialogue. Now I was just like, girl, where you heard that from? And she was like, well, that's just what I think. I'm like, well, girl, but I like, but you know, I somewhat got what she was saying in the sense of like, if you're not having internal dialogue, so maybe when you like, you know, use a substance that kind of like heightens or enhances, like maybe it kind of gives, I don't know. But for a second I was going with her until I was like, well, where did you read that at? And she was like, oh, this is just what I think. I was like, well, girl, I think a lot of stuff.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I feel like they always say like people that are quote unquote more intelligent or have very high IQs are more likely to use drugs as well, because they are trying to find this next stage of realization, or they're trying to understand themselves on a deeper level or whatever. So I could totally understand how someone not having thoughts that communicate with themselves, like trying, like experimenting with drugs to sort of try to open up a new avenue of thinking, or like open up new pathways in the brain. Like I wouldn't be surprised at all if that were the case. And I also wouldn't be surprised, like I said before, if there was a correlation between intelligence and IQ, and that being on the higher end and also not having an internal dialogue. I feel like those people are probably a little bit more smarter than other people. That's just my hypothesis.
Yeah, and I also want to hypothesize that I'm curious to know the correlation with people that do have internal dialogue, like what they are more prone to be. Like, are they are more like entertainers, more like comedians, more like, you know what I mean? Like, are they prone to have more internal dialogue? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, where sometimes you're like, where do you come up with, like, people that like write amazing books or like, you know, can write movies or can direct really well, like, do they have an internal, like, I would love, like, where's the research? First of all, where is the documentary? Like, I need to watch documentary on this. Like, I just think that this subject is so like, it's just so interesting. And again, something that I never really thought about before. I just think, you know, everything that you experience in your life, you always think that, like, oh, everybody experiences this way.
But how naive to think that, right? It's like the same thing with the aliens. Like, the fact that we think that we're the only ones here, like, how naive to think that we all think the same way. It just, and it's clear, like, we have empirical evidence of that not being the case. Like, that's why wars happen on the grandest of scales. So, like, why would we ever think that all of us are, you know, would have a similar pattern of thinking? Like, all of our brains operate the same way, and they don't. Like, it's I just wish that I could, like, switch places with somebody in that position so I could
understand.
I just want to know. I just want to experience it for myself.
So this is another fascinating question that I'll ask us, like, when people always ask me, like, if you could have a superpower, what would it be? And I always say my superpower, I would want my superpower to be, like, invisibility. Like, because I love to people watch. Like, I whenever I meet someone, or, like, for instance, like, if I'm dating or, like, trying to get to know people, I always preference this by saying, like, listen, I'm a social worker, so I ask a lot of questions, and I need for you to kind of, like, let me know if you, like, bitch, you asking too many questions. Because for me, I constantly want to know what people are thinking about something, or, like, you know, so for me to be invisible, I don't need to ask. I could just, like, watch people in their, like, uninhabited state, and, like, that's just, like, so fascinating for me. But what would a superpower? I feel like I already know what your superpower would be. Your superpower would be like Rogue from X-Men. You would take people's powers, or take people's, like, you know.
No, I mean, I think I kind of, like, I like your reasoning for wanting invisibility. I'm kind of like almost along the same lines, and I think that I would want something like being able to read minds, although I feel like that would go really, really south really, really fast, because I feel like there would be no mystery to life at that point. Like, if I was able to understand everybody, like, it just would not.
Right. And I oftentimes feel like the people that read minds in all of the comic books that I can see, they become paralyzed at some point in their life.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that.
So
I think it's just like an overwhelming superpower to have, like, because, like, how do you shut it off? And, like, I just feel like it's like having the cheat codes to life. You can always know what people are thinking and just always know how to manipulate people. Like, I feel like your life gets very, I don't know how you have that kind of power and it doesn't go south.
Or how can you manage relationships?
Right.
Because I'd be like, why are you lying about the Christmas gift I got you on mine? If you ain't like it, that's all you had. You'd be like, what are you talking about?
If you ain't like it, that's all you had to
say. That's all you had to say. You could have saved my money. I ain't have to go to Old Navy.
And I'm sitting there like, what the fuck? How does he know?
Right. How does he know? Okay. So, mind you, now we about to go to the rabbit hole. But, and I never thought about this until now, but could, if you had the power of reading someone's mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if the person did not have an internal dialogue?
I guess then you would understand what it's like to not have one at that point, because you would see whatever they're seeing in their head. So you'd be like, I don't know. That's interesting. Cause, like, I guess because if, like, I'm a mind reader and I have an internal dialogue myself, that's the familiar way that I like to think, right? So if I'm reading someone's mind that doesn't have that, I think at first what happens is that I'm confused and I'm like, where, like, what, how is, where are these thoughts coming from? And then I think with more time, you start to get used to it. And you're like, oh, okay, this person thinks like this. And that's how I think it would be. Because, I mean, if you can read a mind, you can read a mind, no matter if it's internal dialogue or not. You know what I mean? But I don't know. That's interesting. Yeah. That's really interesting.
Because I always thought, like, the mind reader reads your thoughts. And so what I think internal dialogue is your thoughts. So if you don't have an internal dialogue...
See, I always thought of mind reading as a bit more empathic than that. More so... not just thoughts, but, like, you're in their head. Like, you feel what they're feeling. You know what they're, like, all of that. Like, I feel like it's not just, oh, I'm sitting across from somebody and they're reading the restaurant menu and they're thinking about, oh, my goodness, this looks good. Like, yeah, of course, if I'm a mind reader, I would hear, oh, my goodness, this looks good. But I also feel like I would be in their head to, like, know what exactly looks good. Like, what are you looking at? That's what I've always, like, visualized mind reading to be. But maybe that's a bit too OP. I don't know.
No, I mean, I think that definitely is interesting, though, because it kind of takes it to another level. So, I mean, yeah, I would want that superpower, though. Nope.
But it's, it's like the more I think about it, I'm getting anxious just thinking about it. It's too much. It's too much. I'd probably just want to fly. Like, just let me fly or, you know, let me be invulnerable. Invulnerability is a nice one. So, yeah, fuck that.
Wait, what's invulnerability mean?
Like, indestructible. Like, you know, can invincible. Suffer lots of damage.
Got you, got you. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Invincible, have you ever watched that show?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Do you have Amazon Prime?
I do.
I'm not going to say nothing else, Bryce. Just watch it. Just if you watch the first episode of Invincible and you are not hooked, I will be highly, highly, highly surprised. And that goes for everyone listening to this right now. Just see yourself. Just watch it. I'm not going to say nothing else. Just watch it.
Okay. I'm literally putting it on my list to do tonight, and I will text you. You got anything else for the tea before we close it out? Because, child, my internal dialogue just been going off.
Nothing really. I mean, Lil Nas X performed on SNL last night. Shout out to him. He ripped his pants. It was funny. but I love the fact that everybody has sort of been having such a strong reaction to his newest single, because Call Me By Your Name was, like, ready to go to the club, and then this new one is, like, so much more introspective. So people are very, very much here for what he has to do, and I'm excited about it.
Is his new song the one about Nicki Minaj that the Nicki Minaj fans are like...
Yeah, apparently
You're just name-dropping Nicki to get famous. But I'm like...
It's like, well, he's already famous. Like, what are you talking about?
But I also thought that, like, and mind you, I don't really follow Lil Nas X that much. Like, I mean, I know who he is, and, like, you know, I know whatever. But I always thought that Lil Nas X was a Barb and, like, has been an open Barb for years. So, like, how did the Barbs have a problem with a Barb that is talking about being a Barb?
It's so stupid. And then he got on... he tweeted the other day, like,
he apologized about it.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, I won't use her name again. I'm like, no, fuck that. You're a fan of Nicki Minaj, that's fine. If you, like, what are you talking, like, that's, like, if there are actually Barbs in his mentions, in his DMs, dragging him for name-dropping Nicki Minaj, like, what is wrong with you? If anything, be happy that some new artist is giving her a little bit of shine, because as far as I'm concerned, no shade to Nicki, but she's on her way out. So she better, I'm just saying, that's just how music works, that's how time works, that's just how it is what it is. Like, Nicki cannot be the queen bee forever. So the fact that there are people that are coming up and coming, and they're talking about Nicki Minaj, like, allow it. Like, that was so stupid to me. And the fact that he apologized for that shit and said, I won't do it again, pissed me off. I'm like, who cares? I just got heated real fast.
Yes. Okay, let me find out you a Barb. Okay. But yeah, I feel like Lil Nas X, anything he does, he catches heat for. And I'm just like, why y'all just won't let this man be great? Like, just, you know, y'all can let Justin Bieber grow out dreads, but Lil Nas X can't rap about being a Barb. And, like, you know, and he's rapping about his younger self of, like, yeah, I don't know. It confused me. That's why, like, listen, I don't get down with the Barbs. I'm not a Barb. Okay. I'm in the Beehive, and I ain't talking Beyonce. I'm talking about Lil Kim, period, per. Yeah, that's all I got. I think this is a great comeback. Well, don't call it a comeback if we already been here. But yes, I loved everything about this Casual Tea. Let us know what you thought. Tweet us, DM, you got a subject you want us to talk about, please share it, because we absolutely will. What do you have going on this week? What can the people expect from you, Amon? Where can they find you?
You can find me at Amon Adwin on Twitter, as well as Twitch, where I am reading Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban and up to other antics as well. I'm like in a really nice spot right now. Don't really have too much going on because Big Brother is over. Drag Race still isn't on yet. I'm enjoying a lot of this peace that I'm having right now. It's nice.
But are we not coming up on like Big Brother season? Doesn't Big Brother come on in
We are coming up on it. It's starting a little later than usual. It's starting in July this year instead of June. Oh. So we still have a little bit of time. So I'm enjoying this time off.
Okay.
And yeah. Yep.
I hope you're taking showers in this time off while you've got time and you're not watching live feeds.
Yes, but it was first on my list.
I'm so happy. But all right, guys, this is going to conclude this week's Casual Tea. We will be back in 2 weeks dropping some more tea. We're going to holler at y'all because you already know. It's the Casual Tea with Amon and B.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
And we are on to this week's Freak of the Week. And when I was trying to think of a Freak of the Week this week, I really just had to think back to a lot of what I say on the podcast. And I'm like, oh, growing up, I did not have role models. I didn't really have gay black men to look up to. And the more I thought about it, I really wanted to make Billy Porter Freak of the Week because his courage, his strength to come forward with his diagnosis and be a shining example of what you can be no matter what diagnosis you have, no matter what the circumstances are, and really breaking the stigma in the black gay community. I just have tremendous respect for that, and I just want to do my part, okay? And you know I do my part by giving people the Freak of the Week, so I just had to name Billy Porter Freak of the Week because him coming forward really means so much to me, and I know to a lot of other people, and just really breaking down that stigma like we talked on the Casual Tea. So I just had to make baby boy Billy Porter, okay, 51 years old, looking good, the Freak of the Week. And if Billy Porter is the Freak of the Week, that means we are coming to an end of another amazing podcast. I thank you so much for always supporting, always tuning in, always showing your baby boy some love. I truly appreciate it. And if you could be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from, please believe you'll be able to find the Purple Pants Podcast. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. If you could write a review, okay, tell me what you thought, tell me what you got out of it, I would be forever indebted if you could make sure that you get your baby boy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stars, okay? And if you could tell a friend, tell a cousin, to tell anybody that might have plants infested with them fungi flies, okay? Tell your mailman, tell your neighbor, listen, shit, even tell your internal dialogue that Issa,
It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back though. It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants.